Seemed like it was having a little difficulty of getting some direction, leadership for the service tonight. Because I believe that's important, of knowing what God wants. And the Lord impressed my heart not long before I left to come to church, in fact, to deal with Exodus 3. And I want to deal with the subject of experience, the essential for evangelism. Experience is the essential for evangelism. I know September is over. September for souls was over, but maybe we have October for opportunities. Who knows? Or October for others. But I want you to look with me to Exodus 3. We'll begin reading in verse 1. This very familiar scripture. The call of God upon Moses' life and sent him to Egypt to lead the people out. Look at verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, what I'm reading about right here is the experience that is essential for evangelism. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw, notice this, that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry, by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land into a good land, and a large land, and unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. And I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Of course, you know the story goes on. Who am I going to tell them that sent me? And of course, he says, I am that I am. Tell them that the I am that I am hath sent you. But I want to look at this passage of Scripture, as I've stated, on dealing with experience, the essential for evangelism. You cannot, here's the gist of the message, you cannot experience God and keep it silent. Amen? You cannot have an experience with God and not want to tell nobody. You can't have an experience with God and it not move you. Everything that Moses did, we all read about it. We know about it. We've heard about it. But all that Moses did came from this experience right here. We look at Moses down there in Egypt with the power of God on him and what God was using him for. But without this experience I just read, there wouldn't have been none of that that went on in Egypt. What went on in Egypt was a man going out there telling somebody about the great I Am and leading them out from Egypt's bondage. Which is a perfect picture of salvation, by the way. How important is it for us to have an experience with God? Most people today in our churches very, very seldom ever experience God. Very seldom experience God. In fact, that's what most of our testimonies ought to be. Telling what we've experienced, not what we heard, what somebody thought or said or whatever, or giving a doctor's report. But we ought to be able to give a report of the experience that we've had with God. To have an experience with God, friends, will require some time. You remember I preached on it quite a bit some time back about having a quiet time with God. How crucial and how important that it is. That's where you experience God. Yesterday I gave that statistic that I used here. I've got it, in fact, with me there. Where the polls was made, 88% of children raised in our evangelical homes and in evangelical churches will leave church when they reach 18 years old, never to return. What about that? That's almost 9 out of 10. 88%, that's almost 90% of kids will leave church. And I'm going to tell you what's behind that. I'll tell you what's behind children leaving church when they get 18 or 20 or whatever, and the things of God is no longer interesting to them, the things of God is no longer important to them, it's not a priority to them. I'll tell you what's lacking. Experience. Amen. They will go after what they are experiencing. They're experiencing pleasure, they're experiencing popularity, they're experiencing things when they get around their friends, therefore they go from that. You are controlled by experience. And so what we need to keep our young people in the house of God is for them not to be around God. That's great. That's more than what most churches have to offer. But that's not going to keep them in. That's not a guarantee. What's going to keep them in is that if they personally have an experience with God. Because mama's religion and daddy's religion is not going to carry them. When they become adults and they have their own family, listen, the preacher's religion and the grandparents' religion and relatives' religion, that's not what's going to carry them. What's going to carry them is what they have personally experienced with God. Amen. Amen. Moses had an experience with God. The most powerful thing you've got in your life, as far as evangelism is concerned, is your testimony of your experience with God. Amen. I don't know if Miss Ashley remembers it or not, but what was about the first question? In fact, that's what I was preaching that night you got saved. God got us hooked up that Wednesday night about having an experience with God in the quiet time. Getting in private in prayer and experiencing God. And God got all over Miss Ashley and convicted her and showed her she wasn't saved. And I wouldn't want to hold on to a salvation or a profession that I never got to experience God. Why would I want to do that? And the first thing I asked Miss Ashley when she got saved actually in Walmart parking lot. Amen. And came back. And right out here in this sharp curve, my car and their car, we met, rolled down the window. She was weeping and crying and told me that she had gotten saved in Walmart parking lot. Amen. And the first thing I asked her was, Miss Ashley, was it an experience with God? You can't hardly doubt an experience with God. Amen. Salvation, can I say salvation is an experience with God? I mean to be brought from death to life, from darkness to light. That is an experience for God to take the burden of sin off of you, amen, and replace it with righteousness and peace. That's an experience with God. Hallelujah. Amen. Boy, we need that. A lot of people don't have much of an experience with God, and it's evident in our churches. But Moses had an experience with God, and it led him and propelled him into an evangelistic effort where 2.5 to 3 million people were brought out of Egypt's bondage. One Moses had a life-changing experience with God, never got over it, and 3 million, almost 3 million people was reached because of it. A dead church will never be an evangelistic church. Amen. A church that does not experience God, my friend, will never have a burden to reach sinners with the gospel. A church that does not experience God, my friend, will look at their church as nothing more than a social hall. A place where we can go and gather and eat donuts and drink coffee and talk about the Tennessee Bobs. But hey, I want to tell you what I want. When I go to the house of God, I want to meet with God. My old grandma's in glory. Hey, she used to call church the meeting house. She'd refer to going to church as we're going to the meeting house. And amen. They weren't talking about Brother Jones going to the meeting house to meet Brother so-and-so or Sister so-and-so. They were talking about the meeting houses. We're going to go congregate together and meet with God. And they knew that God was going to meet with them because they had been meeting with God up at the hen house. They'd been meeting with God, my friend, out in the garden. They'd been meeting with God behind the wood stove. They'd been meeting with God. And my friend, they knew that a private meeting with God would guarantee a public meeting with God. And they couldn't wait to get to church. You say, preacher, is that scriptural? Matthew chapter 6. What the Father sees in secret, that's that private meeting with God. Shall reward thee openly. That's that public meeting with God. Amen. If there's not anything going on publicly, then it's a good sign nothing's going on privately. I tell you what will propel Rogersville Baptist Temple into the next level. Thank God for where He's brought us from. Thank God where we're at today. But I want to tell you there's a whole lot more for us. I'll tell you what will propel us there is this. Individuals, mamas and daddies, sons and daughters, having meeting with God through the week. Yes, sir. Oh, we need an experience with God. It is the essential for evangelism. I thought about the demoniac of Gadara in Luke chapter number 8 that I referenced this morning. And we'll be back in Exodus here in just a minute, if the Lord help us. But I wanted to say this about Luke chapter 8, about the demoniac of Gadara. Guess what happened? Making a long story short, he got saved. We know he got saved. We know he got saved, amen, because when the people from the town showed up, the man that couldn't be tamed, the man, my friend, that was wild, the man that, my friend, went around naked, that went around cutting himself, living among the tombs, when the people of the town showed up, there he was clothed and sitting at the feet of Jesus and in his right mind. Amen. And you know what Jesus said to him? Jesus told him after the experience. After the experience, here's what Jesus said for him to do. Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Amen. Hallelujah. You can go to Mark 5 and see the same account. And the Bible said that he began at Decapolis.
He began to publish it at the Decapolis. Decapolis wasn't a city. It was a region of 10 cities. You say, what was behind that effort? What was behind that evangelism? What was behind that one person covering 10 cities, witnessing about Jesus? I'll tell you what was behind it. An experience. Amen. It's not what you think God has done for other people that's going to motivate you and move you. It's what has God done for you. Amen. Did you know that what you do for God is going to come out of what He's done for you? Did you get that? Moses had a meeting with God on the mountain. He had a meeting with God, and then he went and done something for God. If you're not much with God, then you'll probably not be much for God. Amen. Hallelujah. What you are with God is experience. What you do for God is service. Yes, sir. I like it, don't you? What about John chapter 9? The man born blind. There's all question about who did it and all this and all of that. And called the man's, he was 30 years old, called his mom and daddy in and said, who sinned? You know what's going on here? And you know what they said? He's of age, ask him. Yeah. And you know what? They didn't have to get him over in the corner and put him in a headlock. They didn't have to put him in a figure four and a full Nelson. They didn't have to threaten to beat his head in to get him to talk. Hallelujah. As soon as they asked him, he said, I don't know all the details. All I know is once I was blind, but now I see. Hallelujah. In other words, as soon as his mouth opened up, experience came out. Amen. And he began to tell what good things God had done for him. Have you thought about the Apostle Paul? Acts chapter number 9. When he got saved, he was Saul of Tarsus and he got saved. You know what? God sent him as a missionary to the Gentiles. If you're here today saved, you owe the credit to the Apostle Paul, of course, ultimately to Jesus, but Paul's the one that brought the gospel to the Gentile world. Hallelujah for that. Amen. Boy, did he suffer. I'm glad he wasn't a wimp. I'm glad he didn't quit when the pressure got on. Snake bites and shipwrecks and stonings and rejection and imprisonments and all of those things. But he brought the gospel to us. But there's three different times in the book of Acts recorded where Paul tells his testimony. Three times he got to telling it. He got an opportunity to tell it. And you know what? It got bigger every time he told it. See, when the experience first happened, you can't hardly handle that. But after the experience, then you start learning about the experience, which makes it a bigger experience. And then every time you tell it, it gets bigger. Amen. Oh, yes. There's no such thing in the Bible as a silent Christianity. No such thing, my friend, as an invisible salvation in the Bible. But in Acts chapter 9, let me just mention this and we'll go back to Exodus. But in Acts chapter number 9, every time he told it, it got bigger. In fact, in chapter 9 and verse 3, the Bible said he saw a light. The second time he told it, amen, the Bible said, I believe it's in chapter 22, in verse 6, the Bible says that he saw a great light. The third time he told it in chapter 26 of Acts, the Bible said that the light was above the brightness of the sun. He said, when it first happened to me, it was a light. Then I got to knowing and thinking about it, and then it was a great light. And then later on, after being saved a while, it was a light that was brighter and greater than the sun. Hey, this thing is not a downhill journey. The big end is not at the salvation point. That's the little end. That's the getting in. That's the getting on part. Amen. It ought to get bigger the further that you go. But I want us to go back to Exodus 13 real quick, or Exodus 3. And I want to share some things with you about the experience that Moses had at the burning bush that my friend propelled him into evangelism, whereby 2.5 million plus people got saved. The first thing I want to share with you, and by the way, can I just simply say, I want to say this. Moses never got over that bush. Moses never got over that bush. It done something for him. That experience that he had with God, that was personal, that was intimate, he never got over it. Now watch this right here. The Lord just showed me something. God called Moses out of the experience. It was, Brother Travis, while he was having that experience with God, of God speaking to him, God manifesting himself to him, he heard God call him and send him. I'm increasingly alarmed at how scarce it is of hearing of a young man surrendering the ministry. I'm alarmed at how few young people, girls or boys, either one, that's interested at all in full-time service. Lord, what will you have me to do? And I'm telling you what I believe it is. No experience. No experience with God, because God's going to call you out of an experience with God. Amen. Amen. I believe that. I believe that. What's the need of our church? What is the ultimate need of our church and of our homes? Having an experience with God. Amen. Not up once a year. Right. I'm talking about frequently and often having an experience with God. And I believe it's through that experience that God's going to reveal to you and me His will. Moses knew what to do. Moses knew where to go. Moses knew what to say. All came out of and through his experience. I believe it's essential. If we're going to be soul winners, if we're going to be witnesses for God, I believe, listen, that we're going to get intimate with God. We're going to have an experience with God. Amen. We should never go to church until we've been in the presence of God. Amen. Amen. God help us. Well, there's a lot that we could say, but let me just give you a few of these. And number one, let me just say this. God used that bush as a demonstration to Moses of what He wanted him to be in Egypt. Moses, I want you to be what you're seeing. I want this experience to be what you are in Egypt when you go down there to witness. Everything that bush was, Moses was. Moses, what's the first thing we can learn from your experience? First thing is the location of the experience. It was in a wilderness. It was on the backside of the desert. It was in a place of solitude. There wasn't no crowd. Moses was there alone. And also, Moses was busy. He was on the backside of the desert keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, amen, who was a priest of Midian. He was keeping his sheep for him. Are you listening? He was busy doing what he could. And he was alone. And God had an encounter with God. Amen. You say, what's the parallel? Moses, I'm fixing to send you to Egypt. And I know there's millions of people down there, but Moses, in reality, you're going to be alone. Just you and me. Amen? Lord, who am I going to tell them sent me? Tell them that I am that sent you. He goes down there, Pharaoh, let my people go. Who told you to say that? The I am said so. Pointed back to the experience. Pointed back to the encounter that he had with God. Amen? The location. Sometimes we get to thinking, well, if I was somewhere else, maybe I could do something. But Moses, my friend, had an experience with God in a desert. Moses had an experience with God, my friend, when nobody was looking. Amen. I think that's important. Because when you go out there to witness, when you go out there to hand out tracts, you know what you're in? You're in a desert. Amen. God is showing Moses, Moses, you can be a burning bush in the desert. Amen. You can be a burning bush when no matter where you're at. And there's a lot we could say about that. But I like that, don't you? That helps me. That encourages me to get alone with God in solitude.
And by just me and God, having an encounter with God, that encourages me. I get instruction from God when I get along with Him. He lets me know what to preach. He lets me know what the will of God is for my life and to lead the flock. And I believe God's a blessing for that. Amen? But there's the location of this experience. You're probably not going to have too much of a public experience with God, an encounter with God, till you have a private one. Moses had a private encounter with God, and that's what gave him confidence to go face Pharaoh. Confidence comes out of that encounter. Let me mention a second truth. I'm just going to kind of hit the highlights here. But not only that, but number two, I see something about the habitation of this experience. Moses saw that God was doing His work from the inside of the bush. In other words, God, the Holy God of heaven, was inhabiting an old thorny bramble bush that wasn't attractive, it wasn't appealing. In fact, it was just downright ugly. But God getting in the bush is what made it bright. It's what made it beautiful. It made it attractive. That bush come alive when God got in it. Amen. Oh, I believe not only the location of the experience, but the habitation of the experience. God was showing Moses, Moses, you can do what I'm sending you to do. You can have an influence on people's lives if you just let me work through you. If you'll let me get in you and work through you. Amen. Now I know in the Old Testament, God really didn't get in people. He more or less got on people. But in the New Testament, He gets in us. He gets in you at salvation. Amen. His presence comes in when you're saved through the person of the Holy Spirit. But I'll tell you what else. Guess what? God gets on you too in the New Testament. Amen. There is that upon ministry of God. And the Spirit of God came up upon them. Amen. We need God. I preached it last night. We need God to get on us. Amen. Amen. Well, there is the habitation, I believe, of this experience. Let Moses know that, hey, who you've got inside you is a sufficiency. Well, that's a good thought right there. Moses, inside this bush is the I am. The I am who? The I am what? The I am whatever you need. Inside this bush, Moses, it's not the bush that's going to do the work. It's not the bush that's going to be effective, but it's the God that's in the bush. Amen. Amen. And inside the bush, inside the believer, you and I, guess who's inside of us? The great I am. Amen. Our sufficient God is inside of us. Let me move on and deal with the third thing. Not only the location of this experience, the habitation of this experience, but I see a third truth, and that is the sanctification of this experience. What made this bush different than any other bush? What set that bush apart? I mean, you could probably look around and see all kinds of bushes. There's probably bushes just like that elsewhere. But what sanctified that bush? What set that bush apart? What made it different? God in it. God in it. Amen. And God was telling you, Moses, through that example, Moses, you're going down there and there's going to be bushes everywhere. There's going to be people everywhere. But I need a Moses like this bush that'll let me sanctify them and set them apart for the glory of God. Amen. You can go to the average church. You can go to the average church and go to that church for months and possibly years. And never hear a message on sanctification. Amen. I'm talking about a subject that's inseparable from salvation. Salvation that does not produce sanctification will not result in glorification. I had a lady ask me one time, she said, when did you get saved and sanctified? I was preaching revival. I said, excuse me? She said, well, when did you get saved and sanctified? She didn't say, when did you get saved? She put them together. When did you get saved and sanctified? I got to thinking about that afterwards. You know, that's Bible. That's Bible. Amen. How long did it take God getting in that bush to make that bush different? Hey.
How long did it take? I'm going to tell you, just as soon as God got in that bush, immediately that bush took on a new appearance. That bush, my friend, was different. What made it different was God. Amen. Oh, yes. The sanctification of that experience. Moses, I'm going to send you down there as my witness. I'm going to send you down there in evangelistic outreach. But what's going to make you effective is what's going to make you different. Moses, watch this. Come here. Oh, that's good. Moses, for you to be effective in Egypt, you've got to be different. Moses, you can't go down there and live like the Egyptians and win them. You can't go down there and hobnob with those Egyptians, amen, and win them. Moses, you need to be like this bush. This experience is the essential for evangelism. Moses, for me, affect you. I'm in one bush, and it's different from all the rest. For you to be different down there in Egypt is the key for your success. You won't get that message off of the television. I tell you what, I'm so sick of it. I'm so sick of turning and watching the religious channels, and you're hard-pressed to even see a preacher with a tie on anymore. Get up in front of their people, flip-flops and shorts and tank tops. I seen one the other day, had old do-rag on his head. Hey, amen, I guess that's what you call them things. That might be all right if you ride the motorcycle, amen. If you're getting in the pulpit with God's Word, hey, amen, you're an ambassador from the high courts of heaven. You ought to look like it, amen. Hallelujah. Amen, had on dark sunglasses, you couldn't even see his eyes. Amen. Hey, preaching's about a thing of the past. Do you understand that? Preaching, Bible preaching, my friend, is about a thing of the past. My friend, all most preachers do now is talk to their preacher. They just talk to them. They'll get up and sit on a stool. They don't even have a pulpit. They'll sit on a big old stool, you know, cross their legs like they're just going to have a conversation with one of their pals. Amen. I had a lady ask me one night, I said, "Why are you hollering at me? Come to hear me preaching." I said, "Why are you hollering at me? I ain't deaf." I said, "I'm not hollering at you. I'm preaching." The word for preach is crusoe. And it identified a man by that name that had a voice that was so loud he could shatter glass. And when Paul told Timothy to preach the word, he said, "Crusoe the word. Lift up your voice like a trumpet." You say, "Preacher, why is it?" Don't ask me. All I know is it's not mechanical. Brother Bailey's told me several times, said, "Preacher, there's no way a human being can get in a pulpit and do what you do." Amen. I said, "You got that right." I said, "There's an energy that comes from another world. Brother, if you get hooked up in the Spirit of God and the anointing of the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you, it's a flow. It's a flow." God said, "Say this, say this, say this, say this."
Amen.
Amen. I don't know how I got on that. But what's sanctifying? The sanctification of it. You can't have an experience with God without Him rubbing off on you. You can't get around a burning bush without some of that fire getting on you. Fire begets fire. You go in churches and it's twice dead and plucked up by the roots. Guess what? You've got a whole congregation of people that's not had any experience with God. Amen. I like the way it was a while ago. Asked for a testimony. Really didn't even ask for a testimony. It was about four or five people standing trying to talk all at once. Amen. I like it that way. Amen. This morning, trying to preach, I couldn't have told you. It's a wonder. I probably had Moses building the ark and Noah carrying the gospel to the Gentiles. It's a wonder. I couldn't think of nothing. Amen. The Lord tonight is free as a bird. Amen. Thank God there's liberty in the Spirit of God in the service tonight, and I love it. Amen. But that sanctification. Oh, we need Rogersville Baptist Temple to be filled with young people and young adults and elder people. We need them filled with people that are being sanctified by an experience with God. Amen. Just like Miss Ashley was talking about not being able to do what she once did. But now that crowd that can do what she once did can't do what she now does. They come to church and they'll... You know why? That crowd can't get hooked up with her now no more than she can get hooked up with that crowd and what they're doing. Amen? What makes the difference? What makes the difference? It's that sanctified work of an experience and an encounter with God. Sanctification. Oh, we're going to write this next one. I know what time it is. Y'all took up most of my time testifying, so I'm preaching. Amen, glory to God. So we've noticed the location of the experience, the habitation of the experience, the sanctification of the spirit of the experience. But let's deal with this one. The transformation of the experience. Amen. Moses, I'm going to do for you what I'm doing for this bush. It's not going to be just another bush, a normal bush, average bush. It's going to be its identity. Amen. Can I say this? You can't have an encounter with God, an experience with God, without it changing you. It's going to change you. Hello? For the rest of you didn't hear it. It's going to change you. Read it. We put it on the church sign before. We'll put it again. No change, no conversion. Amen. What fruit is there in your life of salvation? What areas do you see in your life that's changed because you've met Jesus? We'll never be effective. Listen, we will not be effective evangelizing sinners, reaching out to the lost. We will not be effective if we're still the same. God getting in us, amen, changes us and transforms us. Amen. Well, I like that. That fire became its identity. Changed us from the inside out. Wasn't just the inside that changed. It was all the whole bush. I've been saved 28 years. God's still changing me. God's still working on me. Amen. I like that little kid song. If I wasn't having voice trouble, I'd sing it. Amen. He's still working on me. To make me what I ought to be. Amen. I don't know how it goes from there, but it talks about something that took 6 days to do the moon and the stars and Jupiter and Mars and all that. But he's still working on me. He's been working on me 28 years. I'm a harder case for him. I'm a harder case for him than it was for him to put Mars up there. He did all that in 6 days. He's been working on me for 28 years. Every once in a while, I think he shakes his head and says, boy, this is a tough one. Amen. Amen. Oh, but I want to tell you, friend, you listen, any old bush will do. Just let God get in you. Let God get all over you. Set His fire in you. And you become radiant for God. And it'll transform you. And the people you live around, the people you work around, the people in your neighborhood, they're going to say, something different about that. Moses came by. Watch this. Moses came by that bush before he ever heard a word out of it. He saw it. And the Bible said he turned aside to see. I believe it says this great sight. Man. Brother Clipper, is that you? Oh, yeah. It's just the bush. Bush Clapper. Oh, brother Bush Clapper, that's me. But there's something different about you. There's something different about you. And then that's when you get the great privilege of saying, it's God that's in me. Oh, you young people, boy, if you just have an encounter with God. It'll ruin you for this world. You won't fit in, my friend, the honky-tonks. You won't fit in with the dance clubs. You won't fit in with that crowd, my friend. If you've ever held hands with God, you'll not want to hold hands with that world. I'm telling you, friend, God will transform your life. And let me deal with number five, the radiation. The radiation of this experience. That bush glowed. It had a fire and a radiancy about it. It had illumination about it. Boy, that's what we need when we go out there taking the gospel to the Egyptians. We need to be lit up. Amen. We need to be lit up, thank God, and have God. Listen, it wasn't the bush. It was the light that was in the bush. Amen. And there's a lot that we could say about that. I like it, don't you? And then there was the continuation of this experience. The Bible said that bush burned, but was not consumed. And God is saying, by that experience, Moses, here's what I want to do. I'm going to send you down there, and if they turn you down the first time, I'll send you back again, turn you down the second time, the eighth time, the tenth time. I'll just keep sending you back. Moses, you're going to be like this bush. You're going to burn and burn and burn and burn and not ever burn up.
Amen.
That's right. There is the continuation of this experience. You have an experience with God. Brother, listen. Hey, come here. Let me give you a good Baptist doctrine word. And it's a Bible word. Perseverance. I'm so sick of people quitting. Hey, man, I'm serious. All of us in here know people that's quit. How many of you know somebody that's quit? Used to go to church, love God on fire. They ain't church anymore. Look at them. Hands everywhere. Amen. By the grace of God, it's just the grace of God, we wouldn't be another one of them. But I'm just, can I testify? Can I testify tonight? The one thing that has kept me going has not been any abilities on my part. It has been one thing and one thing only. Having an experience with God put in me a continuation, put in me a perseverance, put in me an endurance. There's times when we went through problems. I thought, this is it. I am through with this mess. God says, well, I'm not through. And I go pray about it, and God that says He's not through gets all over me and lets me know I'm not through. I remember, let me give this quickly. Oh, man, it's good. I remember when I first started preaching. Hadn't been preaching long. I was still living at home with Mom and Daddy. I had my study in my bedroom. And I was going through a dark trial in my life. I'm talking about God getting on you and encouraging you to go on. And I went in my bedroom that day, closed the door and locked it, and took the Word of God and laid it on the chest of drawers there in my bedroom. Went over, sat down on my bed, said, that's it, I'm through, I'm done, I'm quitting. And boy, I mean, I was just weeping because the only thing I ever want to do is preach. I mean, I just love it. If I couldn't preach, just dig a hole and put me in it. Hey, man, I can't stand it if I couldn't preach. And I put that Bible over there and I went over and sat down. I said, that's it, I'm done, Lord. I can't handle it, I'm through. And God said to my heart, said, before you quit.
Yeah.
I mean, it was that clear as if it was audible. Before you quit, read one more verse. And I'm thinking, well, attitude and the shape I'm in, what's one verse going to do? So I got up, stumbled across the bedroom, and I was wading about that deep in self-pity. Amen. Almost swimming in misery. And I walked over there and got that Bible, went back. Sat down on the side of my bed, and I didn't go looking and scanning for a particular verse. I thought, well, if I'm supposed to read a verse, you show me what I'm supposed to read. That Bible fell open. My eyes went immediately to Ephesians 6:13. Having done all to stand therefore. I closed that Bible and I said, Lord, I withdraw my resignation. Thank God. You say, what caused that? I had an encounter, Miss Betty, right there in that bedroom. I wasn't in good shape, but God was in good shape. I was down, but He was up. Amen. And when I went in that bedroom and read that Word of God, it was like a shot in the arm. Thank God. God, my friend, picked me up right there with one verse of Scripture. Think about this, Rogersville Baptist Temple. I'd have never made it up here. I'd have never made it up here if I would have succeeded with what I had plotted to do that day. You say, preacher, why are you here? 28 years. I'll tell you why. I've had a few encounters with God. I've had a few experiences with God. And it done something for me. Amen. Oh, you don't ever quit when everything's going well. It's usually when you got some kind of a problem and some kind of a pressure and some kind of a difficulty. And you know what I've done many times? I've reached and got my old bag of misery. Went in there. Father. Amen. And get to praying about that. And then you know what I thought was a big bag like this that was just huge and it was consuming my life. And when I got in there to praying about it. When I got in there praying about it, talking to the King about it, guess what? God many times come in that room with His manifest presence and His bigness made my miserable situation look very insignificant. And many times I felt like Brother Sellers like this. Lord, I ain't... Oh, You're so worthy. You're wonderful. I don't have no problems. I thought I had some problems. But now I've saw You. I'm hearing from You. You're speaking to me. You're helping me. You're blessing me. Amen. I don't have no problem. I don't have nothing to complain about. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you, your encounter, your experience with God, it's going to be what's going to keep you going. And I don't have to tell you tonight, buddy, the pressure is on. The pressure is on more than I've ever seen. Not just on preachers, but on lay members. Young people. Pressures. Pressure's on you. Can I tell you, young ladies and young men, something? Well, all of us. You can't handle it. You can't handle it. You can't handle it. The pressure will handle you. You can't handle it. And I tell you what you need to do. Amen. Bring your cares to the Lord. Casting all your cares upon Him. For He careth for you. I tell you, bring your burdens to the Lord. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Thank God. He is a friend that's well known. Oh, mercy. Moses, you're going to be like this bush. There's going to be the element of continuation. And then last of all, out of this experience, there was the experience of communication. Out from that bush, God spoke. What's this right here? I just sing this, Brother Gene. God didn't speak in general terms. Hello? Somebody hear me? Anybody interested? No. The voice that came out of that bush was, Moses! Moses! Said it twice just to make sure Moses heard it. Amen. Moses! You know what God is saying from that experience? Moses, you're going to be like this bush. When you go to Egypt, I'm going to speak through you. I'm going to be the one speaking through you. Boy, we need that in evangelism. We need that in witnessing. Friend, it's more than just us knocking on a door or handing them a gospel tract. There needs to be God in you, speaking through you to those people. I didn't get saved till God spoke to me. Nor will they get saved till God speaks to them. The communication of that experience. God wants to say something to you and through you for His honor and His glory. Hallelujah. Quite a good time preaching. The experience, the essential for evangelism. Now here's the thing I'm going to say and I'm closing. If you're not interested in evangelism, if you're not interested in witnessing, if you're not interested in winning your friends and neighbors and work associates and so forth, if you're not interested in that, then you're not interested in having experience with God. The devil does not care. Listen, the devil does not care if you go to church, carry a Bible, sing in a choir, whatever. As long as you don't have an experience with God. As long as you do not have an encounter
with God. The devil don't care because he knows unless you have... Oh, yes. Unless you have an encounter with God, you'll never be a threat to Him. But He knows, oh, Brother Stallard. He knows, Brother Stallard, that if you have an encounter with God, as did Moses, you're going to Egypt and you're going to be effective. The devil's greatest fear about you and me is if we have an encounter with God. If we're not careful, we'll put God away out through there somewhere, out of reach, out of touch. But we can experience Him. Amen. The word know in the New Testament, just about every time, not all the time, but most of the times, it's talking about an experiential knowledge. Amen. 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 God wants to get intimate with you. God wants you to get into... Amen. God wants you to get intimate with Him. When's the last time there was such an encounter with God that you felt, my soul, whew, I'm on holy ground. Amen. Moses never got over that bush. Nor did those people Moses influenced ever got over him having that experience with the bush. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the time together this evening. God, I believe with all of my heart that You dealt with tonight a very crucial element concerning our effectiveness. If we're going to be effective at reaching our friends, if we're going to be effective in reaching our neighbors and be effective around work associates and schoolmates, if we're going to be effective, Lord, we've got to have, as Moses did, that encounter. We've got to have that experience with God.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.